So this message, I've titled it, Who do you say I am? Hallelujah. Who do you say that I am? Amen. Hallelujah. So oftentimes in our walk in life, we come into close contact with people, and when we work with people, we work in alignment. Okay, so if we do not align, if we do not agree, we cannot work together. Hallelujah. Amen. We cannot work together. Hallelujah. Just give me a minute. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. We'll read from verses 13 to 19. Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 19. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 16. So I borrowed the word of Christ this evening. So who do you say I am? Matthew 16. 13 to 19. And I read the NKJV. The Bible says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, or Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? Sorry. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. Then he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Amen. He says, but who do you say that I am? So in the first instance, they were in Caesarea Philippi, and he was asking them that in this vicinity, who do men say I am? Okay? So meaning that the disciples must have interacted with people, and then in their interaction, they will have picked one or two things about what they say about Christ. Okay? I say, so these people, who do they say that I am? Hallelujah. Who do they say that I am? And then it says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Meaning that, how do they perceive me? Who do they see me as? Okay? And after he has said that, and after they responded, some say you are Elijah, some say you are this, some say that, he now turned to them and said, who do you say that I am? Hallelujah. Amen. So it was important for him to get the perspective in which they saw him. And we cannot work with people, you cannot work with anyone in the perspective of other people. Hallelujah. So if I see you as a generous person, another person should not be seeing you from the light that I see you. Okay? It will be out of place, because it is a place, it should be a thing of an experience and an understanding of who I am, that everybody relates with me on a one-to-one basis. Okay? And this were his disciples. And he's saying that, who do you say that I am? Hallelujah. And then Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Verse 16 says that Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, the Christ is the title, right? And that's why the Bible will refer to him in the next verse as Jesus. So he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Okay, so Christ actually, if you look at it and take it from the original meaning, means the Messiah. Okay? So Peter was saying that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And there's an expectation, once you give a definition or a title to somebody, there's an expectation of or there's a responsibility that comes along with that title. So in the house, if you say somebody is the head of the house, then there's a responsibility that comes with it. If somebody is the head of a place or the CEO of a place, it comes with a responsibility, okay? And everybody begins to relate with you in the light of that responsibility. Recently, I was opportunity to be in a place where someone transitioned his job level from this level to a higher level. And this day, a day before, everybody was relating just on this platform, that, it's just on this level, so we're just relating. And the moment it was announced that his job function has changed to a much higher one, everything about the relationship changed. Hallelujah. Because of this new role, okay? There were expectations that go with that title. Hallelujah. Amen. So it took him all the energy to come and say, "Guys, yes, I know that this is my new role, but don't forget that all of us were foot soldiers and we're on the same platform before. So don't let my new role come into or disturb our relationship that we established before now. Yes, the role is there, but yes, that person that I am is also there." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. So he said that. And so Peter was saying, "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah." Okay? That means that he had an understanding of what Christ had come and what he had come to do. Okay? So for the Jews and everyone, what they understood about the Messiah was very important. And for him to be able to say that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, it gives a lot of light to how he sees and how he's relating with Jesus. Okay? And if you look at the definitions, the other definitions down there, okay, it says there that, so by him mentioning the title Christ, okay, it indicates that he believed that Christ Jesus was the anointed one, the Son of the King David, and is expected to restore the fortunes of Israel. And now we will restore the fortune of Israel is now dependent on how you understand or you can break down that the anointed or the Messiah. Amen. So if you are looking at it from the humanly aspect, which is what everybody thought, that he will come and he will wage a physical war, okay, and then he will rule over his people. That understanding of what the Messiah will be, or how the Messiah will come, or how the Messiah will come to rule, played a great role in the way they were relating with Jesus. Now some didn't believe, because they expected someone that will come in majesty. They didn't expect anybody that will come lowly. Okay? They didn't expect anybody that will rise from the woods and come out and say, "I'm the Messiah." They expected him to be born the way royalty is born, hallelujah, the way warriors are born, hallelujah, and then he would do the things that are ordinarily expected. And so for Peter to say, "You are the Christ," okay? I mean, Christ, look at Christ's response. He says, "But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven.'" Amen. Hallelujah. There was a spiritual significance of the coming of the Messiah. Okay? And because they had longed for, one with power to throw off the hated enemies, their understanding of the Messiah was totally different. And you'll see that later on, even though Peter said, you are the Christ, okay? In his relation, or in his relating with Christ, in other statements that Christ made, Peter was almost missing it. Further than when we read, you see that he was almost missing it. And it took God, or Jesus, to bring him back online. So continue, it says, in verse 18, it says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church. The gates of it shall not prevail against it. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that it was Jesus the Christ. Okay? And the Bible says in verse 20, "From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must come to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day." Verse 22 says, "Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you.'" Amen. Hallelujah. So, Christ, you know, once he was able to establish that, oh, this is how they view me, because he said, "Who do you say I am?" This is how they see me. Okay, once he was able to establish that, he began to show them things that would happen to him, because time was near. Hallelujah. And as he was showing them, Peter could not relate with what he was saying. He couldn't relate what he was saying to them about his death and about his sufferings. He couldn't relate it with him being the Messiah. The Messiah was supposed to be someone that can be defeated. Hallelujah. He was supposed to be someone that couldn't succumb to any kind of pressure. So the Messiah is supposed to be like Voltron. How many of you know Voltron? You know Voltron? Ah, that's interesting. You know Voltron. Hallelujah. Amen. So Messiah was supposed to be like Voltron. He's not supposed to be even be defeated at all. Now he was telling them about how he's going to suffer, how he's going to die, and he couldn't just fathom that the Messiah is going to die, the Messiah is going to suffer. So it's just like when you need help, okay, you're in the middle of nowhere. Something interesting happened today. As I was coming from Sruliri, and then there was a towing vehicle. They were towing a vehicle actually, and the vehicle they were towing looked like those accidented cars at the import. You know, the wheel was like this, and it was just towing it. And then all of a sudden, I saw the tire on wheel come out of the shaft and was rolled on the road. So I thought it was even from the one it was the rickety one that they were towing. But apparently, it was the rear tire of the towing vehicle. And I was like, oh my, how on earth will you need help? And then your help becomes now. So imagine that you're in the middle of nowhere, you need help, and somebody comes to help you, and then you look like you are even more fit than the person that has come to help you. Hallelujah. And that was the picture that Christ was painting for them, that they will suffer. And they will be looking at, Peter will be looking at, the picture you are painting is not the picture of the Messiah that we are expecting. We are expecting someone that is coming to deliver. Hallelujah. He's coming to remove us from, or take away all these sufferings, deal with the enemies, and just restore to us everything that God has promised. And yet this one is saying that it's going to be. And then the Bible says that, "And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you.'" Amen. Well, you know, Christ is a spirit being. Amen. And he understands the power of words. I think we looked at that on Sunday. The power of words. Look at what Christ said. Christ said in the next verse, he said, "But he turned and said to him, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men.'" Hallelujah. Amen. So as Peter was speaking, he was speaking things in the way men will see things. Hallelujah. And then Christ was making you understand that it's not about the freedom of Peter, but it was about Satan. And he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So that he will not lose focus of what he was meant to do. Now, in saying that to Peter, he was also bringing Peter to the point where we realize that you need to work with me based on who I am and not who you think that I am. Hallelujah. Amen. And I hope you know that who I think you are is different from who you are. Hallelujah. Amen. So if I think that you are a good person, you're not a good person. It doesn't matter whether I think you're a good person, you're just not a good person. Amen. And if I think that you're just a rich guy, okay, and you're not a rich guy, hallelujah, no matter how much I think, how rich you are, each time I come to you, you just always be yourself and tell me that you're not rich. Or you try to prove to me that this is who I am. Hallelujah. And, you know, as we move into the next phase of this year, which is our fasting and praying, we ought to relate with God, not the way we think he is, but the way that he is. Hallelujah. Amen. I think it's Psalm 150. Say, praise God according to his excellent greatness. If you can never do it, praise him according to his excellent greatness. So you have to meet that praise. You have that praise that is coming from within you must meet the excellent greatness of God. Hallelujah. So you don't praise him according to how you feel. You don't praise him according to your circumstance or the things around you. You praise him according to who he is. And the same way when you are dating with him. So you don't think, on Sunday we were looking at if you doubt, you will not receive. And we are looking at the fact that the things that we get from, the things that we unlock from God are as a result of our aligning and being taught by the Spirit of God that these are the things that are available to us in the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the same way when we are working with him. And oftentimes, what should happen is that we relate with him the way he is and for who he is. Amen. And that's what he was pointing out. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Meaning that when you walk with God, or you walk with God, or you walk with Christ, it's not anything that has to do with the physical realm. Amen. It's not about having goose pimples. It's not about jumping up, hallelujah. It's not about how much you can shout, how much you can wail, how much you can clap. It's about how much you can connect with the Spirit of God, hallelujah, with your spirit. And when we say you, always remember that when it comes to dealing with Christ, you is your spirit, not your body. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's why Christ said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. If he had to do with flesh and blood, there was no way it could have been revealed to Peter. It had to be that he was impressed upon Peter's spirit and he had to stay there. And the second thing I want us to know is that though he was impressed on Peter's spirit, hallelujah, that this is the Christ, it did not dawn on him how the operation of the Christ would be. Hallelujah. Amen. So he began to relate again, and then he left that realm, and then moved in, and then he began to look at things from the way man sees things. Amen. So we've got, even in the place of prayer, you know, sometimes, just like when people say that, I'm dealing with you with my church mind. Some people, they have a prayer mind. Hallelujah. Amen. When they are praying, they are all fired up. And immediately they finish praying, they come back to the realm, whatever realm they were in, and begin to relate again. And then, so it begins to look to you like you are blowing a balloon. So when they're in the spirit, the balloon is inflated. When they stop praying, the balloon deflates. And you cannot continue to do like that. Because you will miss out of what the spirit is saying and how to follow and align with the spirit as the spirit is leading you. Amen. So he says from that time onwards, from the time that it was revealed to Peter that this is Christ, Christ began to tell them about things to come. Open and believing that in that same revelation knowledge, they will continue to understand those things. But then it was not so. Hallelujah. Not by any fault of theirs, but it was not so. Because Peter said, no. How can this happen? It cannot happen. He was going to defend. And if you look at it, Peter continued in that way. Even when Christ was when they came to arrest him, that's why he drew out sword and was fighting. Amen. Hallelujah. If he had sat down, okay? I mean, look at what the Bible says in Numbers. Numbers chapter 24. from verse 15. He says, so he took up his oracle and said, the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, and the utterance of the man whose eyes are opened, the utterance of him who hears the words of God and has the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of tumult. Hallelujah. That was in the book of Numbers. Okay? And this was, as recorded, it says, the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor. And he was seeing Christ. Amen. That description is of Christ. Okay? He said, I see him, but not near. So he was seeing into the future, and he was saying that, look, he's going to come. And that was the expectation that, please go to verse, the next verse. It says, the utterance of him who hears the words and the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with the eyes wide open. I see him, but not now. Okay? I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and batter the brow of Moab, and destroy all the sons of tumult. That's who they were expecting. Hallelujah. That's the Messiah that they were expecting. So they were expecting the one that is going to come and destroy all their enemies. No, in their wildest imagination, they could not fathom that he was going to come and die. Hallelujah. Amen. Meanwhile, if he did not die, this battering and this destruction will not come to pass. Amen. The ways of God are not the ways of men. Hallelujah. His ways are far above our ways. But if we connect with him, we have to stay where we meet with him. Amen. So, in the next 21 days, and if you like, you can start from tomorrow. Hallelujah. But if you don't have enough storage, don't worry, you can wait till first. Amen. But from first, what you need is that once you start on that journey, you don't look back and you don't come back to where you started. Amen. In the spirit. You don't look back and you don't come back because it's a journey. Hallelujah. So that you will not be making two steps, taking two steps forward and three, four steps backwards. Because there will be revelation knowledge indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's not about, if you want to build a mansion here, those mansions will go away. So I see a lot of people buying houses now. I go to some places, I see them, houses have been destroyed. And then I laugh. That's somebody's sweat some years back. That's somebody's mansion that they will kill for, or probably would destroy people for, to have built. Okay? Or all his life savings, he used to build it. Now the person is no more. Okay? So whatever he built, he's not standing anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. So when you're looking at physical things, you need to understand that those things are temporary. Amen. And the things that are not temporary are the things that we should run after. Hallelujah. That's why Christ told Peter that flesh and blood has not revealed it to you. And so for Peter, it was expedient for him to stay with what has revealed it to him, because every other person could not answer that question. Hallelujah. A walk with God is not a walk with our sensibilities. Hallelujah. It's a walk with our spirit. The people looked at someone that was coming to fight on their behalf. Amen. Not someone that was coming to atone for their sins and give them access to God. So the Messiah they were expecting was a physical one, not one that will restore them to the original design of God. Our expectation of God, our expectation of our work with God has to align with God's will and design for us. if we will not miss it. Hallelujah. So when you begin to ask yourself questions, and say, so even this Christ, who is he to me? Or how do I see him? Amen. It will solve a lot of problems that we seem to face when things do not go the way we expect them to go. Amen. So if Christ had been in the shoes of Peter, and then he suddenly was suffering, and he was like, I'm supposed to be the Savior. Why am I suffering? Amen. But he took him an understanding and a prayerful walk with God to be like, this is your will, O Lord, and let it be. Now, the whole idea of all this is that align your expectations with God's will. And if you need to search out God's will, you need to search it out so that when things begin to unfold, it will look to you like, this is not what I'm looking for. This is not what I'm expecting. Like Peter, it won't be like that to you. You will readily soak in whatever it is, and in the place of the Spirit, you'll be able to discern and work with it. Amen. So if anybody enters this room now, how we all receive the person is dependent on how we all perceive the person. Okay? How we all perceive the person. So I was in an office 2 days ago, and I went there as, how do I call it? I went there to solve a problem. So I went there like a consultant to them. I want to solve your problem. And as they were saying it, and everybody was telling me what they wanted to do, by the time I was talking to them, I'd already met with their MD, managing director, and that one had told me everything that I needed to know. I just needed to be in their environment and see things. And as I was asking them, they were telling me things that was not aligning with what the MD wanted. And I said, all of you do not even know what is expected of this, or what this, the outcome of this meeting, what is expected. I said, because just 2 days ago, I met with whoever gave me instructions, and these are the things that I was told. And so we had to now, reconvey the second day with the MD present. As she was talking and telling them things, I was just smiling. Hallelujah. Because whatever they had in mind was totally different from what she had told them. They had an idea about it, but they didn't get a full grasp of it. So meaning that when I came and I was telling them, I was not aligning and they were opposing what I was saying. Meanwhile, what I was saying aligned with what she wanted. Amen. So if there's a misalignment, there will not be an agreement. Hallelujah. And you will not be able to move forward. Christ needed that assurance that he understood who he was for him to be able to continually to reveal himself further to them. So I say it again, that if you're in one phase of your life, until you have satisfied the requirement of that phase, you are not qualified to go to the next phase. And oftentimes, what people do is that they don't finish a phase and they want to move to two phases after. And Christ was very progressive in the way he dealt with his disciples. So until he understood the fact that, okay, you have an understanding of who I am, and then let's move a step further. And then he began to break down the component of who he is, or how that who he is going to come to pass. And still, they could not figure it out. And he said to them, he said when he was rebuking the devil that, you do not deal with God in the place of man. Hallelujah. So spiritual exercise, like we were looking at on Sunday, physical exercise profits a little. Okay? But when you do the spiritual, it gives you a whole access to God. And then it makes things easy. As you begin to move from one level to another, it just becomes easy. It's just like when they tell you, once they give you those booklets when you're young, and then they say you should trace out the letters, alphabets. Once you're able to hold your pencil well, you can trace out any alphabet, and you trace it out, and you look like it was your writing. But meanwhile, if they remove all those traces and tell you to write, you will not be able to write. That's how easy it is when you walk with the Spirit of God and an understanding of who God is. Amen. I was talking to someone 2 days ago as well. And the person kept meeting an obstacle. She was trying to do something. She would go to the left, she'll meet an obstacle. She would go to the right, she'll meet an obstacle. And then she kept meeting an obstacle. And then she said, please, maybe God is trying to tell me something. And I was happy she said that. So she had to pause. I said, maybe God is trying to tell me something. What am I not doing right? I said, okay, God, what am I supposed to do? And after she said that, things became clearer. And you know the funny thing? The person was going to move from CMS to Anthony. And then walked like from Ogudu to Ojota. I was asking people where she would take bus home. Like from Ogudu to Ojota. And then walked back. And then started to say, maybe I'm not even supposed to go towards that side I wanted to go. And absolutely, she was not supposed to go to where she was looking for. Was meant to go somewhere else. And until she got to the point and said, God, okay, am I doing the right thing? Before you don't know her, she wasn't doing the right thing. We can't walk this walk on our own terms. If you look at what, let's go back to Matthew chapter 16. I think it's verse 19 or verse 18. He says, and as I say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of it shall not prevail against it. The next verse says, and I give you the kings of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He commanded disciples that they should not tell that it was Jesus the Christ. The next verse. And from that time, he began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes. You know, the elders, the chief priests and scribes were meant to be for the people. So if he's telling them that I'm going to suffer from people that are supposed to be for the people, he was not tallying with them. Hallelujah. He said, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then the next one said, then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Far be it from you that this shall not happen to you. And then he turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. You have to stay mindful of the things of God. Hallelujah. Once you are mindful of the things of God, it will be difficult for you to drift from the things of God, or you drift towards the things of men. Hallelujah. Amen. Meaning that by the time you are drifting, by the time you are mindful of the things of men, you are giving in to the devil. Hallelujah. Amen. Be mindful of the things of God as we progress in these 21 days as we are moving. Amen. Be mindful of it. When we do this fast, stay away from everything. Fast everything fastable. Quarrel. Deceit. Everything. So that your internal environment is just mindful of the things of God. You stay away from it. When you say pursue, in this period, you're supposed to pursue God. If you spend this time asking God, adding for me and all that, it's not a time well spent. This is a time that you ought to be like, you ought to get a testimonial from Christ that will say to you that flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Let something tangible out of 21 days of power. Amen. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. May we rise to our feet. Let's thank God and give him praise. Most importantly, let's just reorientate our minds that the revelation of the Spirit is what is critical and crucial to us this time and beyond. The things that the Spirit of God will be explaining to us, the things that will bring in our way, and they are personal things. So remember that we're not talking about how other people see, but how you see. Those personal revelations that we have are the tangible things we look forward to. And just crave that moment with him, that you'll be able to get it right and get it with God. Father, we give you all the praise and glory. Let your name be exalted, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray.